During the time I was steeped in those subjects, we had a visit from Willa Carson. Willa was Mother's old friend from school days and something of an amateur explorer and world traveler. She had been out of touch for quite a while and just returned from Egypt. When she mentioned that the pyramids are laid out like the stars of Orion, I felt more connections happening. The discoveries which had been coming to me repeated themselves everywhere I turned. I saw reflected in inner earth what was found in the farthest reaches of galactic perception and no doubt in the deepest origins of experience within me. Mother had been a little disturbed by the direction my interests had taken. During my junior year, she started to express in various ways that she'd lost her carefree child. It was my sister Jackie, who had always been the serious one, with clear ambitions. We'd both learned to swim early, since we spent much of our summers at the mountain lakes in the Siskiyous. I amused myself with deep water diving, or else socializing with our friends, but Jackie swam in competitions. Eventually, she worked as a lifeguard and took early EMT training. She loved children and hoped to become a pediatrician. So Mother watched me spend more and more time with my studies and leave behind sleepovers, movie star madness, and preoccupations with fashion. During the years she raised us, while our father traveled in his work with a Medford pharmaceutical company, she had developed a fixation about normalcy. Yet even as she regretted the onset of change, I could tell in subtle ways that Mother also responded to the connections that were happening. Willa Carson visited us when I'd started to explore curriculum options for college, a process that added to Mother's distress. She wanted me to prepare for a practical career and future marriage, while I planned to further myself in the sciences. I defined my interest in hyperspace and dimensional travel, frequencies and harmonics of subatomic particles linked with certain quantum states replicated in the mind, held out possibilities for allowing physical bodies to cross dimensions of space and time. These possibilities called to me. In Mother's view, I wasted my time in a field that would lead nowhere. Father watched and waited. It was the first time I can recall that he tamped down his powerful personality and considered my interests, temporarily withholding his judgments. So, Willa's enthusiasm came on the scene at a pivotal time. Her different quests enlisted us in her worldviews. She planned to return to sites of Central and South American pyramids she'd previously visited, but with their link to the Egyptian pyramids as her new focus. She talked of advanced, ancient civilizations long ago obliterated by cataclysmic events. In turn, I brought up a possibility that precious realms such as Shambhala exist hidden in a fourth dimension which, as Edwin Birnbaum puts it, is as concrete and real as the three dimensions we normally see. Shambhala could conceivably be hidden right here, an inch away from us, in another world that we do not perceive, because we focus all our attention on the familiar one we know. We shared stimulating conversations of this nature. Willa visited us again at summer's end, just after my senior school term began. We were captivated by pictures she took at Yucatan, showing the South Temple at Seil, the incredible Temple of the Magician, and the Arch at Labna. At Chichen Itza, she'd come into contact with people who had connections with native visitors from the Andes. As a result of their conversations, Willa was moved to revisit Machu Picchu on her next trip. She had only seen the legendary Lost City of the Incas once before on a commercial guided tour. Since she'd begun work on a book about her travels with a particular view toward the relationships of ancient sites with extraterrestrial forefathers, she was eager to revisit Machu Picchu in a less structured fashion, as well as to seek out lesser-known sacred sites in the region. She also planned to include a flyover of the Nazca Plateau in southern Peru. A taste of autumn was already in the wind that September weekend. Willa was packed and ready for the drive back to San Francisco, with her luggage waiting by the front door. Father had raised the hood of her car to check the oil level for her. "Miranda," Willa said, "what would you think about the possibility of coming along with me to Peru next summer? I can't think of a more fitting graduation present from all of us." "Truly? That's... Willa, I hardly know what to say." "Well, Christiane, see what Edward thinks, and just talk it over among you. There's plenty of time. Here, Miranda, would you put this on the floor behind the driver's seat?" She handed her valise to me. I went down the steps toward her car with a mental vision of the ancient refuge of the last Inca kings, so real that I could just about step right into it. But I was jolted out of it by the thunk of Father closing the hood and a crunch of gravel as he went to collect Willa's suitcases. I straightened from setting her valise in the car. A major wind gust blew my long hair into my face. While I gathered up the wayward strands with both hands and pulled them back, I saw Willa's sturdy shoes and leggings before me, and looked up to find her standing there with a book resting in her outstretched hands. It seemed as though she offered it to me in a brief, silent ritual, and then she held it up so that I could see the L Chronicles printed in gold on the slim indigo book spine.